Well, good evening, Harvest family. So good to hear people laughing and having a good time. All right, before we have a, we'll have a word of prayer first. And before we have our first song, I'm just going to share a little bit of information with you, some exciting things going on. And of course, we've got our missionary letter to the Craig family we'll share tonight as well before we go into our Bible study. But let's go ahead and pray together before our first song. Father, we love you so much, and thank you for your goodness to us, your blessings upon us. Thank you so much, Father, for the joy of service and fellowship for friends and family and church family. What a joy it is to hear folks fellowshipping and laughing and enjoying one another. And I just pray that you would bless and, Lord, lead, guide, and direct, and we'll be careful to praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I got a few things I want to share with you that's been on my mind, and let me write something down real quick before I forget. Now, Lord, I pray that you would bless our time together, Lord, in your word tonight, that you would be uplifted and glorified, that we glean and learn from the scriptures, and we'll be careful to thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I am not going to play Speed Racer, but I probably will be a little, I won't cover your whole outline that you have in your hands unless I just give you the blanks, but we'll go over some of that tonight. It's a little bit later than I hoped it would be, but I don't want to leave tonight without spending some time in the Word. Amen? All right, Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 27. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 27. An unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. Now, we've been talking about abomination in the book of Proverbs, and we'll continue on. Hopefully, we'll try to finish what I can tonight. If not, I'll finish it when I get back. But we've talked about abominations to God for several weeks. And tonight, I want to look at abominations to good men. Abominations to good men. Letter A, the unjust. The unjust. Again, this first part of Proverbs 29 and verse 27a, an unjust man is an abomination. An unjust man is an abomination to the just. This verse illustrates that there is no easing of hostility or strained relations. If you are living for the Lord and you are a righteous man, you are a righteous Christian, you're going to be and come across as an abomination to others. And this unjust man should be that way as well. We need to understand that. We talked about abomination. Remember, it's a disgusting thing. It's something that God hates. And there is no common ground to be found between the just and the unjust. We will see this again a verse later if we have time tonight or when I get back here in a few weeks. But your little brown section, italicized phrase there, the behavior of unjust men is not only an abomination to God, but also repulsive to godly Christians. And I think sometimes if we're not careful, things that are abomination to God that should be an abomination to us as unjust, as just Christian, as a just man, we get that frog in the kettle routine where I've never done this before. I've eaten frog legs. I've caught frogs, but I've never done this. But if you throw them in there with cool water and put the lid on it, they'll pretty much will cook themselves as the heat rises. And we're not careful. We get used to unjust. We get used to the sin. We see it day by day like Lot. It vexed his righteous soul. And we need to make sure and remember that those things are an abomination to God, should be an abomination to us. No matter if we see it day by day, no matter if it's in our community, which it is, and where we live, we need to make sure that we are sensitive to those things. Solomon states that men who embrace injustice are an abomination to those who are just and righteous. See, those with character are bothered by those without character. Though we see those running around with no ethics, no character, no guidelines, no guardrails, I don't care for that. I know when I was in the military and I pastored a military church, I had no problem. I had the gray hairs. Even though I wasn't active duty anymore, I had no problem speaking up when someone was acting out of character or unjust. People of integrity and honesty are often offended by those who are dishonest and deceptive. And we should be, because it's an abomination unto the Lord, the unjust. Good men see the lifestyle of the unjust as an abomination. They should, as an abomination, because of their conflicts and behavior, their priorities and their goals are worldly and anti-God. See, here are a few good questions for the carnal Christian. Do your actions, words, and attitude offend and disgust godly people? is our testimony as a just Christian? Hopefully we are just, because even Christians can be unjust in their behavior, in their language, in their approach, and that we should not be that way. And clearly, an unjust man is abomination to the just. We are to be the abomination to them. We also need to realize it needs to be in their behavior. It should be an abomination to us because it is to God. Do you find yourself in constant conflicts with godly Christians? If so, you need to ask yourself, am I living just life, a righteous life before the Lord, or am I finding myself like others? Every time I think about that account in the Word of God referring to Lot, he pitched his tent toward a certain direction, and we know he changed. It changed his family. In fact, when all said and done, they couldn't find a handful of people that knew the Lord or professed the Lord, just barely his family. There was because of a lack of a just man living righteously. So if you find yourself or your actions, your attitude, or you're in constant conflict with godly Christians, you might want to take a long look at your life and how you are living and what your testimony is, how it's seen by others, the unjust. And then letter B, the untruthful, the untruthful. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 7, "For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips." See, not just filthy speech, but filthy speech and filthy behavior is not talked about by the just. If you're talking about something and it's a little off color and someone else is walking up and you have to change your speech, are you being unjust? Gentlemen, do we have to change our vocabulary because a lady walked up or a young person walked up? We are to be truthful in our behavior and in our words. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 5. "A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame." Here the word truth is from the Hebrew word emeth, and it means truth, but also faithfulness, sureness, dependability, reliability, stability. It's very strong here in this context. Truth is like a pillar which promotes faithfulness, reliability, and stability. Friend, if we don't have a testimony of speaking truth, if we have a testimony of stretching the truth, why would anyone want to take our witness and our testimony? Why would they want to hear us when we want to share our faith or tell them about a circumstance or a situation? Again, abominations to godly men. The unjust, not just the world, but unjust Christians should be an abomination to us. Unjust Christians are an abomination to our Lord, but also the untruthful. So, why are millions of Christians faithful to the Lord in the face of opposition and persecution? We see all this going on in our world today. We see it in third world countries. We hear Christians being martyred and slaughtered. Why are millions of Christians in the past, if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and even in our present day, why are they still faithful to the Lord when they're facing such great persecution by the unjust, by those that are abomination to the Lord? I believe they find unshakable strength and confidence from God's truth. Truth. See, they know that truth does not change. And isn't it wonderful to know that the Bible says the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. These type of Christians know that the truth does not change in spite of the opposition and opinions of men that defy it. You see, truth is reliable and dependable because it's always true. And logical, makes sense, but think about it. Truth is reliable and dependable because it is always true. Now, yesterday, 2 plus 2 equaled 4. Now, this new math in our schools today, I'm not sure. Have you helped a grandchild with their math here lately? But anyway, 2 plus 2 equals 4, but it's also true yesterday, it's true today, it is true tomorrow, and the simple reason is it is truth. It is truth. And we need to realize we can take the Word of God as truth. So if God says these things are an abomination, we've talked about a lot of those. One is sowing discord among the brethren. We talked about a long list of them. They are still abominations to the Lord. They should still be an abomination to us. It's something we don't accept. It's not tolerable. We don't wink at. We don't look the other way. If God says no, God doesn't like it, I don't like it. Bottom line, love for the truth and hatred for wickedness demands truth. Letter C, not just abominations to good men. They're not just the unjust, the untruthful, but the wicked. Now, this one's a little bit easier. It's easy to look at wickedness as being an abomination. But if you're not careful, you start accepting the unjust. You start accepting the untruthful. And just like Lot, you may wake up one day and you're looking the other way at wickedness instead of fleeing from it or calling it out. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 12. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. Boy, I wish a bunch of politicians knew that verse. But it's the Bible. Criminal acts are an abomination to kings. If a king is trying to have a righteous and a just administration, he will detest criminal acts that are that may try to undermine his authority. And you can go a little further as well. The verse may also mean that it is an abomination to kings for their subjects to commit wickedness. We know that it is for our Savior. We know it is for our God. For us to commit wickedness is an abomination to Him. Lawful, orderly government must be sustained by righteousness. See, it doesn't matter what the world is doing. Doesn't matter what the world is protesting. We are to be righteous and just. We look at our verse once again. A righteous man not only hateth lying, but an unjust man is an abomination to the just. And if those things are an abomination to us, we've got a couple choices. We flee from it. We try to make a difference when we can by living a righteous and just life. And we pray that God changes hearts and lives. I'm going to bring it up one more time. I'll move on quickly. I don't recall seeing in the Bible, but I know the Bible says that Lot's soul was righteous soul was vexed, but we don't even see where there that he did anything. Did he pray? Did he build an altar? Did he try to make a difference? Whatever he may have done, it wasn't enough to be mentioned. It wasn't enough to affect one person in the community. We need to make sure that we're living just, that we may be living in an unjust world that we live in today. We've got to accept it. We live in an unjust world, but it doesn't mean we need to let that on us. We can't live differently. Here's the problem I have, and I don't want to meddle, and I need to move on, but you know what? These yahoos out here protesting, and things are going on in some of these cities, why can't we be just as vocal, not ugly, but why can't we be just as vocal in our testimony and sharing Christ? Or speak up when you're in a store. I've got no problem when I'm in Walmart, Fry's, or any other store and I hear someone take the Lord's name in vain. I've got no problem clearing my throat and saying, the Bible says he will not hold him guiltless who taketh his name in vain. I have no problem speaking up. Hey, that's my God that you're referring to. Do you realize what you're talking about? Well, a preacher might get your nose poked. I haven't yet. But I'm not afraid to speak up. I'm not afraid to at least be kind or do it quietly. Even if I just come by and say, you may be mad, but I really would appreciate it if you wouldn't take the Lord's name in vain like that. I've had no one threaten me yet. It may happen tomorrow. But we need to be vocal when we have opportunity as well. Let's move on. The unjust, the untruthful, the foolish, and then in letter D, the foolish scorner. The foolish scorner. And we'll just about finish. The foolish scorner. I'm kind of speeding through some of this. Proverbs 24 and verse 9. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is abomination to men. See, good men detest those who mock morality, justice, and goodness. Sooner or later, as I mentioned before, good men should and will rise up against the scorner. And you will find real quick when we're willing to speak up, people will tend to notice or remember. I've actually had people in the past when I've said something to them discreetly, not calling them out, but just mentioned discreetly. The occasion I've seen other men before that has seen me a few days later in a small community that we're in and say, I thought about what you said, and I want to apologize. Thank you for saying something. If my mama would have been here, she'd have snatched me by the ear. And so he was just lucky Michelle wasn't with me. But the foolish scorner, they're out there. They're out there. But we don't have to behave like them. We can respond in a loving way, but we need to say something and not just move on, or not just saying, boy, how bad things are getting. When you see it on the news, when you read about it in the paper, don't raise your hand, but how many of us just throw up our arms and say, good night, I can't believe what the world's coming to, versus to how many of us stop for a moment and pray and say, Lord, would you do something? Would you work? Would you change their hearts? Would you give someone the boldness to make a difference or to testify to them? The foolish scorner. Abominations to God, abominations to good men, and this will be short. Number three, abominations to bad men. To bad men. Back to our text, Proverbs 29 and verse 27. An unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. Yes, by living right, by living righteous, by doing what's right, yeah, we are an abomination to the unjust. And folks, I tell you what, I'm about tired of them being an abomination to me and God. I wouldn't mind being one to them once in a while. And the best way we can do that is to live righteous, to live right. And as I was talking to one of my friends here, and my preacher friend recently, I stand on the word of God. I'm King James, but I'm not King James ugly. We can be Christian and not be Christian ugly. We can share our faith. We can be outspoken, but we can say it with compassion, because after all, the Bible says, he that is upright in his way is an abomination to the wicked. People get upset, but that's okay. In fact, I may get this wrong, but let me tell it, sister. But recently someone went to get a cup of coffee at Starbucks, and they, in the honor of Charlie Kirk, they had his name, Charlie, written on it. And once the person serving her realized what it was, she just kind of made a face and then took another cup and covered up the name and gave it to her. But you know what? They just smiled and thank you and moved on. Now, there's no doubt in my mind, a seed was planted for the purpose of the reason why she asked for the name written on there. There's a reason for it. And we need to remind ourselves. I get encouraged. There used to be a few restaurants, when you ordered food, it had John 3:16 written on the cup or somewhere else on part of their labeling. And we, there's nothing wrong with us having that on, whether we're winning, where we're wearing a pin like Brother Hunt made. Do you know that you know that you know? He made a bunch of those pins, gave them out to the men on Tuesday morning. Your pastor says it often. Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven? Somebody will ask, what do I need to know that I know that I know? And there's your door. There's your opportunity to be a blessing to those people. We need to make sure as we're serving the Lord that we're doing all that we can in this area, because abominations to bad men. So letter A, the upright and the faithful. The upright and the faithful are abomination to bad men. And by the way, sometimes a godly Christian is abomination to a worldly, carnal Christian. They get upset, they get offended, they get aggravated. See, wicked men reveal their lack of character and the true corruption in their hearts when they display or proclaim their hatred for those who are godly. See, godliness of those who love God is a source of conviction to the wicked. When we not only say we're Christians, but we live it out, it's uncomfortable for the ungodly. It's uncomfortable for the unjust. And sometimes it's uncomfortable for carnal Christians. So instead of repenting of their sins, they lash out in revenge and they attack righteousness and righteous people. See, church history has an abundance of examples of Christians that were hated and put to death because of their faith in Christ. Dear friends, I have not driven down Saraval or Van Buren and seen a Christian burning at the stake to provide light for me to drive down the road. Those days are over, but they are part of our history. And if they're willing to lay down their life and they were willing to stand up for what they believed in, surely we can live in a world that we're free to live out our faith without concern about people criticizing or calling us a name or referring us to Billy Bible or Goody Two-Shoes. We should wear that with honor. Yes, I'm a Christian, and I respect your right to not believe, but please respect my right to believe. Because, hey, I am not going to ridicule you for your faith or your lack of faith. Why should you treat me any differently? We're still human beings. We can treat each other with respect. Because sometimes people will be very offended when you try to witness to them. The upright and the faithful. Letter B. Fleeing from a sinful life. Abomination to bad men. Fleeing from a sinful life. They get upset when they see other unbelievers, they see other carnals change their life. Tony, your friend pool counted when you got saved, didn't it, buddy? It changed. People that used to be a friend fled from him. And some of us some of you may have got saved at a later in life, you know what I'm talking about. Those of you who were saved at a younger age and spent time in college or in the military around others and they found out you were a believer, there were those that would give us a hard time or ridicule us because of our faith, because they flee, because they don't want to flee from a sinful life. They want to embrace it. To them, they hate that fleeing from a sinful life. Proverbs 13:19. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. See, the word fools here refers to those who try to live without the Lord. Those are called fools, or those who do not believe in God. This is an amazing verse because it magnifies the foolishness and lack of common sense to those who reject God. Here's the kind of testimony we need to have. We need to have such a testimony that the unjust sees us as an abomination, but somewhere along the way, they begin to see the realness, and they begin to respect the realness of our walk. And that abomination changed to curiosity. It changed to maybe a little bit of an interest. It changed us to someone at work asking you about a Bible question. I think it was, I don't remember, it was one of the Wesley boys or Whitfield, but they said there was a big campaign going on. He was street preaching that day, preaching the gospel. Of course, no building, open air, no microphone, just old leather lungs belting it out. Later during the week, the biggest well-known atheist in the town was there the rest of the week for the services, standing in the very back. And one fella got a bit of an interest and couldn't believe he was there and went by to find out, did he get converted? And he went by and asked him, I noticed you've been here several nights this week. What do you think? Have you changed? Have you made a profession? He says, no, but it's quite entertaining. There's one thing I've noticed. I may not believe in God. I may not agree with the things he's saying, but boy, the zeal that he has, he sure does believe what he's preaching. And he came out to see and to hear of what was being proclaimed of the Word of God, because someone stood and said, thus saith the Lord, with passion, with zeal, and he lived it during the week. Dear friends, people watch. They take notice. The upright and faithful may be an abomination to bad men. Fleeing from sinful life and those coming to the Lord may be abominations to them. But there are still those that hear and they see, and sometimes even with the magnifying glasses, they watch our life. But they need to see. They need to be afflicted. They need to feel, they reminded it may be an abomination to them. But somewhere along the way, something may change. Somewhere along the way, they may see something that they're missing and someone has housed in their life. See, this, Solomon observed that fools hate the idea of leaving their sins. Fools deceive themselves by thinking that their sins are enjoyable, they're profitable, and when in reality their sins lead to bondage and a loss of happiness. They're miserable. They just can't stand it, and they see another Christian, someone who's proclaimed to be Christ, and they're always happy. They're always excited. You ever ask somebody who's worldly, someone who doesn't know the Lord, and ask you, why are you so happy? They're noticing. They're noticing. It's an abomination. It's offensive to them. There's an opportunity to share in the right light. Fools pursue sin to their own destruction because they refuse to be teachable and to do right. So if they will not do right, they need to see us doing right. Isaiah 26:10. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of the uprightness will he deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Dear friends, don't be so foolish as to embrace evil and reject the Lord. We see it all the time, and we need to make sure we're reminding folks. Yielding to his control, dear friends, is wisdom and obedience. Are we yielded to him? I'll close with one little example and give you an idea, or you probably already know this. We're going to meet people that sometimes are going to be flat out ugly. You knock on the door, they use a lot of words that if it was on air on the radio, they'd all be bleeped out. And we sit there and we hear it, we take it, and sometimes we don't know how to respond. All we can say is turn around and walk away or whatever. But there's been times where I've knocked on the door and got dressed down, cursed out, shouted out, and I just stood there and took it in until he was finished. And then I simply asked, are you catching your breath or are you done? Can I have an opportunity now to say my piece? Usually the door is whoop, closed. But there's been a few occasions just out of, wow, you want your turn now? Okay, what do you got? I said, well, what I have is not what you have. It's love. It's my Savior. And I would love an opportunity to tell you how I can receive your rebuke, why I can receive it, why I receive it, and how you may learn to do so as well. Can I come in? Or can we stand here at the door? Can I share a few things of Scripture? More times than not, the door has been closed. But on a few occasions, I've had that opportunity. A few occasions, very few occasions, but I've yet to be able to see someone bow their head and pray. But at least I planted the seed, even though they were ugly. So let's not be Christian ugly. Let's realize that we are an abomination when we're living righteous to the unsaved. And if we're making them uncomfortable, we don't need to needle it when they're uncomfortable. But we need to recognize it and ask for an opportunity to share our faith. If they don't want to hear it, give them a tract and ask them to divide on the church. Ask them for an opportunity to talk at another time. But if we're living for Christ, as Proverbs says, we are going to rub the unjust wrong in the wrong way. And that's okay. That's fine. They're an abomination to God. They're an abomination to us. Sometimes we are going to be to them. But let's make sure that we take the higher ground when we talk to them, when we respond to them. Because responding to them in the same level they treat us will never get us past even opening our Bible. I've even asked people that were ugly to me that wouldn't talk, said, well, can I at least pray for you? He said, yeah, you pray on this side of the door, and he closes it and walks away. That happens. But you know what? I can lift up my voice and pray loud enough they can hear me on the other side of the door. Ask God to bless them, change their hearts. Lord, maybe he'll let me talk to him another day. We're going to be an abomination by living our faith to the unbelievers. But let's don't throw in the towel. Let's don't give up. And let's remember, they are an abomination to God, and they should be to us. But in that, we are an abomination to them when we are living just and righteous and upright. And that could make a difference with a man that is unjust. I know I said I was almost through. Let me tell one more story and I'm done. There's a pastor in Southwest Virginia, and we'll probably attend the services while we're visiting my cousin on our way back in between visiting our family. And he was well known in this community because he was the drug dealer. And then one day, something got through, and what was an abomination to him became something that wasn't quite abomination. He had an interest. And he heard, and he listened. He got saved. Started going to church, was discipled, got baptized. God decided to call him to preach. He surrendered to the ministry. Went off to Liberty University back when it was Liberty Bible Institute many, many, many years ago. Graduated and had the audacity to come back where he grew up and start a Baptist church. Today they have two buildings, a big auditorium, a big gymnasium, and many people would come to church just because they wanted to find out, is that drug dealer really peddling the Bible? And many of them got saved. Some of them are members of his church. Some of them might even be deacons now, some many years later. But it started with one that went from abomination to Christians, and he feeling the abomination from Christians, to God softening his heart, coming to know the Lord, getting saved, going to Bible college, and coming back and starting a church that is thriving in Southwest Virginia. God can. And we need to remember, He used somebody. I'm going to ask Him if I can remember. So help me remember. I'm going to try to ask Him if the person who led him to the Lord is still living. Where they're at today. Now, he's older than I am, so they may be in heaven today. But can you imagine the rewards of that one Christian that stood out, stood their ground, made a difference, that someone who was off in sin and pulling others in with him now is preaching the gospel, and many are in heaven because of a changed life of a sinner. Don't take it the wrong way, but let's go out and be an abomination to the unjust. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and thank you for the privilege of service, the privilege of fellowship, and Lord, help us, Lord, as we focus in the coming year and make some preparations to begin praying with this idea of faith, family, and fellowship. And Lord, the idea of just doing all that we can to make a difference and softening hardened hearts that are around us. It will take time, and sometimes it will be hard, but Lord, help us to endure and to do all that we can, and let's continue to be just men and women, righteous men and women for our Savior, because anything else is an abomination to you. We love you. Now, Father, dismiss us with your love. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as always, God loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can help you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. I will have my phone with me if you need me while we're away. Don't feel like you can't. If it's an emergency...